Let's go to chapter 13 now. So we're dropped off at chapter 5. Rishibir Bahuda Gitam Chandubir Vividai Pratak Brahma Sutra Bharastaiva Hetumadhir Vinistitai. That knowledge of the field of activities and of the knower of activities is described by various sages in various Vedic writings. It is especially presented in Vedanta Sutra with all reasoning as to cause and effect. So, Brahma Sutras or Vedanta Sutras, the same thing. It's given sutras or compact aphorisms of knowledge which you unpack and expand. The meanings are very vast and it's all compressed within the sutra. Just like ISKCON. I stands for international, S stands for society, K is for Krishna, and KON is, no, it's for consciousness. So, you know, unless you know that somebody, you know, if someone just comes up to you and says, yes, I'm a member of ISKCON, to a stranger, the stranger doesn't know what ISKCON means. You have to tell him. Sometimes devotees take advantage of this on Sankirtan. The Krishna consciousness, oh, you're a Christian, oh, well, that's good. So you have to explain to people what it means. So Vyasadeva has explained the sutras in Vedanta and the Brahma Sutras in the Bhagavatam. Like in the Brahma Sutras it says, Janmadya Yasya Yadaha. It says two words. And then there's a whole explanation. The whole first shloka of the Bhagavatam is this verse. So the coverings, let's see, we're talking about the field of activity here. So the field, the kshetra and its knower is described by different sages in different Vedic writings. And there's a whole thing called Brahmapucham, which is described in this commentary, which you have to know also. Brahmapucham, the five kinds of realizations of Brahman. And these are koshas, or coverings of the jiva, made of the Lord's energy. And it has to do with his, you know, the soul, the kshatra and the kshatragya. The soul is inside of the body, and he has two kinds of bodies, right? He has a gross body and a subtle body. So that subtle body is also affected by different kinds of consciousness or realizations. And the soul becomes aware of God, he goes through these different stages that can be seen socially and it can be seen spiritually or religiously. Just like in Russian, you have the word koja, which means skin. So kosha, the Sanskrit word, means like a covering or a sheath, something which covers you, right? And so there's these five coverings. And you have to know these, because you will be tested on this. So you should write it down. And besides that, it's very interesting. Where did I put my little... Oh, I didn't put my thing. Oh, I remember what it's like. Pranamaya. Prana means life, heirs, or... So then there's the discrimination between his own existence and others' existence. In other words, he becomes aware of, you know, life forms and his own existence as a living entity separate from other living entities. And his whole unifying vision is kind of like a survival of the fittest, that I will try to, you know, protect myself, to keep myself in existence. So it's a kind of survival. Their unifying vision is one of survival, but the person sees, he distinguishes his own life from others, and thus tries to and thus tries to survive amidst, you know, this world. So it's kind of, you can see that most people in the world are at this level. It's kind of a struggle for existence, survival of the fittest. But a little bit more elevated than that, you know, you have kind of philosophers, literati, poets, thinkers, hippies. Just right there. So they, this is also called manomoya. So it means with the mind. That's another term. So jnana, or here you got thinking, feeling, and willing. So you can see that the mind clicks in. This is the subtle body. These are the gross bodies. This is the, you know, really fundamental kind of level of consciousness. This is a covering which the living entity, his consciousness is through this first level, and he just sees everything as food, he just thinks about food and this. And then the second level is also covering him, he comes to that, and that's pranamaya. And then the third one is manamaya, that's with the mind. So these are all totally, materialistic. The next one is also, what is this distinguishing feature? I've written this down. These are the bodily platform, the subtle and the gross. Okay? This is, from here down, is the bodily platform. Here you have something a little bit higher, and this is the Vijnanamaya. Oh, by the way, Ramanujacharya mentioned that for someone to be factually situated in Jnanamaya, then he has to be following the Vedic civilization, Varnashramkarma. Because Jnanamaya means full of knowledge. Maya means full. Or, you know, like Krishnamaya means Krishna-ized. Krishnamayi, that's the name for Radharani. Always, he's full of Krishna, thought of Krishna. So, Ramanujacharya comments that in order to be factually situated at Jnanamaya, a person has to be at least following the Vedic civilization. That's his definition for observation. Just wait till I present this, then you can ask the question. So, Vijnanamaya, alright? From here, the person has understanding of himself as a spirit, separate from the body, eternal spirit, okay, separate from the body. It's still, as Prabhupada says, materialistic. So, although it's a little bit more developed than just the bodily concept, it's still considered material. You know, like Socrates, he also understood that I'm not this body, I'm from eternal spirit soul. He didn't think Jivarasimhoi Krishnarana Divas. But he understood that, you know, I'm different from this body, I'm an eternal being, and inside this body. Different, a little bit higher level. And then the last, and the highest, and then the Maya. Where one realizes that I'm an eternal servant of God. Or for the Lord, I guess. And that's he feels very blissful serving the Supreme Lord. So it's called Anandamaya. So these are all levels of Brahman realization. They're actually the Lord's energy, coverings or koshas, which cover the living entity. I like that. Kosha. Simultaneously, they are subjective realizations
of the living entity, some simultaneous reality and subjective vision.
I'll explain this a little bit more, how they can both be subjective and objective. That's like in a country you have citizens, and in order to be a citizen of a particular country you have to follow certain rules of that country. If you live in that country, either born there or naturalized there, and you follow the rules of the country, you become a citizen, and it's an objective reality, right? Simultaneously, a person thinks of himself as being Russian, American, or Indian. He feels, you know, connected or sentimentally disposed towards that country, which is his subjective feeling or view. So simultaneously, there's an objective reality, and there's also his subjective feelings or realizations. Just like, you know, dogs in India are also citizens of India, but they don't think of themselves as citizens of India. You know, or Russian dogs, they don't think, I'm Russian. They just think, I'm a dog, only. So, that kind of subjective citizenry is devoid in the consciousness of the dog, but at least it's present in human beings. So both of these things are they're simultaneously there. So this this is part of the indirect. There's two indirect Vedic systems which approach God without the descending knowledge, and that's called Vyashti and Samashti. This is when one's realizing oneself as the Lord. This is the five levels that one goes through. It's one's understanding one's oneness with the Lord. Seeing oneself as part of God or Brahman. Then he goes through these five levels of Brahman realization. Identify our present condition. Well, that's it's universal because you can see that happens when we first come. We go through the subtly in a way. We go through anamaya. For us, you know, Krishna consciousness is the kitchen religion, and that's about it. And then later, we may realize our own kind of individual capacity as a devotee. And then we become absorbed in more like intellectual approach, academic approach. And then gradually some realization, factual realization, and then blissfully absorbed in kirtan and devotional service. Yeah, they're very broad, universal things we can see that happens in a human being when he's growing up, the different levels of people's consciousness as they take to religion. So they're subjective and seen in different fields of present life, but you know, that we see in religious life or just common social life. And they're also they're objective realities, they're energies of God. Okay, let's go further. Let's go on, all right? You can ask more at the end. We're going to give these two next verses. All right, let's chant together, 6 and 7.
Mahabhutanyahankaro buddhiravyateva cha indriyani dasakam cha pancha chendriya gocharaha iccha.
The five great elements: false ego,
intelligence, the unmanifested, the 10 senses and the mind, the 5 sense objects, desire, hatred, happiness, distress, the aggregate, the life symptoms, and convictions. All these are considered, in summary, to be the field of activities and its interactions. So Krishna said in text 4 that he would describe yadrik and vikari. Look in text 4 and look at these words. Yadrik and vikari. Text 4. These 5 things. Yadrik, vikari, sachaya, prabha. Right? So he's describing these 2 things now. Yadrik and vikari. Okay? You might want to write that down. I'm going to tell you. Well, you can look in the verse and just see it. Yeah, it means constitution. So now, the constitution, or the yadrik, is described in text 6. And the material energy, the kshetra, the field, has 24 components.
Param udaritam. When the living entity has a material body and a material, subtle body, then he has desires and he has aversions. Icha dvesha samutena dvandasa mohana bharata. He's in the material world. He has these things. Some things he's attracted to, other things he hates. This is the fundamental psyche of the materialist. And this is how the mind acts, to accept and reject. Things you icha, you accept. Things you want, and dvesha, things you don't want, you reject them. And then sukham, dukham, also there's happiness and distress. When you get what you want, you're happy, and when you don't, you become distressed. Sanghata, the aggregate, then chetana, life symptoms are present. The aggregate means all 24 of these elements, as we said, makes up your little universe. It means your body. So when you mix all these things together, then you get a working feet, working body. 24 elements in a bag, and you mix it up together, and then throw in a spirit soul, and then you come popping out. Right? And then there's chetana, then there are living symptoms. And then there's conviction. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to become a king. Whatever. So that's it. So these, Krishna is beginning to describe the field of activity, and it's these 2 things, the yadrik, vikari. Later he'll describe yata, where it comes from, and the other items. Okay, more questions? No? Yeah. Not particularly, but aggregate means the field of activity. Prabhupada says the aggregate of these 24 is called the field of activity. So, for us, yeah, it means the body. It could also mean the whole universe. But when you put these 24 things together, you have the field, and what's the field? Krishna said the field is the body. Our field is our body. It just means the life symptoms. Consciousness, birth, thinking, feeling, and willing is part of it. Dhriti means conviction. That's connected with that. It means just life symptoms. Yeah, breathing, attraction, aversion, affection, attachment, conviction is also one of the life symptoms. And that means the entirety of the material energy in its most primordial, subtle, and inactive state. Manifest, avyakta. Yeah, we said.
It means the totality of the 24 elements, which means the kshatra. Was it here or? It's mentioned somewhere. About birth, growth, maintenance, reproduction, dwindling, and then death. These are the six vikaras, or transformations of the living entity. These are also life symptoms, you know. But these are transformations, the six stages of transformation that the living entity goes through when he's put into the body. Then things happen. These are just like primary ones. But there's many other convictions or life symptoms also. Of what? Well, living symptoms can also mean attachment to something. Other than wanting it, once you get it, you become attached to it. Well, living symptoms can also mean attachment to something. Other than wanting it, once you get it, you become attached to it. And that's a kind of a secondary living symptom. Another thing is conviction. You may be convinced, that you're going to, meet, fall in love or something like this. You may be convinced that you're going to go to college and become an engineer. You may not have some, strong desires or hatred, but you may, in other words, you may have some kind of convictions whereby you don't have any ichha and dvesha involved. There may be other kinds of convictions which aren't involving those strong attachment and aversion, desire and hate. Maybe you have philosophical conviction also, that you're not the body. Put the knower of the field into the inside of the field, only then you get these. When the soul leaves the body, you don't see those. So these are transformations or interactions between these two things, kshatra and kshatragya. When you put them together, you get these things. So, desire ultimately comes from the soul, but it's transformed or transmuted through the koshas, the koshas, the sheets, and so forth, and various other kinds of subtle things, of false ego and so forth. And then it comes out in different ways. The soul, is anandamaya obhyasa, he wants to be happy, so desire is a concomitant feature, a characteristic of the soul. But it's transfused through all the coverings once it gets inside of this crazy material body where there's so many coverings. Yes? That's why with these 24 elements. When does a person grow up? It's a gradual development. Just like we have these five things, Brahmaputcham. So in the beginning, he just likes to eat, and then he likes to just play and survive, and then he likes to use his mind. And then he may realize that I'm not this body. And he's fully mature when he realizes I'm a servant of Krishna. That's when he's fully, an adult person. He's still childish, in a way, depending, on our development. So we're still enamored by, playing in the material world. And thinking that that's quite enjoyable, to that degree, we're still immature in our consciousness. It's many years. So we also take many years hearing, chanting, serving, associating with the devotees. Gradually we mature, and then we just gradually become detached and bored with these things naturally. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. Janayata Yashu Vairagyam Ganam Shayada Haitukam. It just comes. If you just continue serving, then you just become disinterested in material things. Yeah, it's very organic.
Let's just continue. Natural, yeah. They relate to the yoga letter? I never thought of it before. I don't know if you can compare them. You have a question? In the conditioned state, considered the knower of the field. Well, there's some statements. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives these statements that both the conditioned and the liberated soul are both considered kshatriya, knowers of the field. Because, in other words, you may not know how your hair's growing and how your heart's pumping, but you know how your body feels, don't you? If it's too hot, if it's too cold, if you have to go to the toilet, if you're tired, when you're hungry, if you have enough prasadam, you know all of those things, huh? Very well. So, that's what it means. You're very much the knower of the field. You may not know exactly every single thing. Like they ask Prabhupada, do you know everything? So Prabhupada said, yes. So then someone said, well, how many windows are in the Empire State Building? So that he doesn't know. What was Prabhupada's answer? He said something like, how many drops are in a mirage? He answered by saying, how many drops? Yes, how many drops? The same number of drops as are in a mirage, but many windows are in the Empire State Building. So we don't expect you to know anything, you know, how your kidneys are, you know, secreting bile. Energies, or coverings of the jiva, like the false ego is an energy of covering the jiva. My promise is, yes, materialistic, yeah. Because unless one knows he's a servant of Krishna, then he's still... Like Socrates, he's actually a materialist. Because he's not developing love of God. But he knew that he wasn't the body. He didn't go back to Godhead, so... That means he's still in the material world, so his consciousness gave him a material result for his materialistic... Okay, we have to stop now, because it's 6:30. Prabhupada ki!